pray that the words that he speaks today will be your words that he put forth, Lord. Open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts to receive your word that you have for us today. That is.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Trust everyone is doing very fine on this wonderful day. And I keep telling people, you know, on these cloudy days, you got to remind people that the sun is still shining, okay? So sometimes you may feel like the anointing is not there, but it's like the sun hidden by a cloud. He's still there and you're still anointed, amen? You know, I came in here today and I always get up early and I go over a message and I talk with the Lord and I have my quiet time with him. And, you know, when I came to church, usually I always come prepared, and I'm prepared, but I just sense such a special anointing this morning. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm wanting to cry, and I'm like, wow, the anointing. And so I asked about this little room over here. Man, I just want to go over there and just fall in a fetal position and just be with the Lord. Because the anointing was just so strong in here. Anybody ever get like that? It's like, man, and even to worship service, I'm glad the Kleenexes are right here. But, folks, I'm not ashamed of the Lord. When you get in the Lord's presence, you know you're in his presence. And it's hard to maintain control sometimes of your heart and your tears. So don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid of that. I've been in public before where I had to go off to myself a little bit because people wonder, man, you, what's wrong with you? You know, but they don't understand. You know, and you guys here the way you are, you know, you do the bottle things and you fill everything. And they just mentioned about some people, if you'd like to sing in the choir. Well, most of the church is up here singing now. And that's what I told my wife. They keep doing that. I said, there won't be anybody back there. They'll all be in the choir. But that's good. You guys participate. It's such a blessing. I mean, it's hard to see that in a lot of churches today. So I commemorate you. I mean, I'm amazed. And so I want to tell you that I sensed God saying to me that he was so pleased with you guys. And I've never really had God do that much for me. But this morning it was sharing that word. I'm just so pleased with these people. You know, they seem like they feel like they're just little and don't do much. But he says, I'm pleased. I'm so pleased with them. So you hang on to that. That's God. So this morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about the men and the job that they have as being fathers. You know, the way the world portrays a man or a father, he's in the way. You know, you got all these TV programs now that the father is just like another kid in the family. And the mother runs the house and tells him what to do and everything like that. And that is really so far from the truth and reality. And men are torn down. Most men act like women. You know, or they have no courage or they have no strength. And that shouldn't be. You know, the man is to be the leader of the house, but a leader in such a way that it's a leadership in love. It's a leadership in understanding, in compassion. You know, being there, what do you need? What can I do for you? You know, where the family comes first. And the children. So let's look at a scripture verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 13 and 14, Paul here is speaking to the Corinth church, and he's encouraging them and warning them. It says, be watchful and stand firm in your faith. Then he says, act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. And so that's 1 Corinthians 16:13. So there's four things in that verse that it talks about. But let me give you just a few statistics, if I could, about children and the absence of a father in some cases. It says there's a crisis of fatherhood today. The U.S. Census Bureau says that 24 million children, 1 in 3, live in homes without their biological father. And of course, I know there's other men that come in and they do their best to be the father that the children don't have. And praise the Lord for them. Folks, that's hard to do. It really is. It's like in nature. A mother dog might have her puppies and she dies and you try to put the puppies with maybe another dog, and sometimes they'll kill them. They'll bite them or won't accept them. On the farm, we would have calves that we would try to, instead of bottle feed, put them on another cow. And the cow would just kick them, wouldn't want any part of them. So that's a lot of the animal kingdom. But humans tend to do the same. It's hard for a man to accept another man's child. But I thank God for those that are anointed and do it. Amen? Amen. It says, but children, their dads involved in their lives are more successful in school, more confident, more sociable, and less likely to have a list of adolescent problems. Clearly, dads play a large role in the success of the children. That is a godly man. So here's the four things that we looked at, that we just read about. A godly man, he's alert. He's alert to see what's going on in the family, what the needs might be. When one of them's hurting, he's there trying to help. Sometimes my wife, I tend to try to fix her, you know what I mean? And that's not always good. Sometimes you just got to listen. Give them time. You know, she tends to look, she says, I know you really care for me when you give me time. Or you do something that I've asked you to do probably 100 times, you know. So I am not the model dad. You know, it's just that God is always faithful. And we sing about that. God's always faithful. The second one, stand firm in the faith. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the enemy tries to rob you of your faith, your trust in God. A lot of times you don't feel like you're doing any good. You know, most of your kids, when they get to be teenagers, they think you're the dumbest person that ever lived. You don't understand anything. Well, you just don't understand. Really? You know, probably we've been through it and we survived. So maybe we know a little bit about it. But see, they don't think we know anything. Now, when they get to be about 20 or 25, all of a sudden you've gotten pretty smart. You know what I'm saying? They're like, wow, you've really progressed over these years. So keep the faith, even though it doesn't look like nothing's working. Folks, that's how you walk with God, too. You may feel that you're not accomplishing anything. Am I just wasting my time? I've prayed that before. Working at the prison, and I pray, God, am I just wasting my time? Am I making any difference at all? Are you able to use anything that I'm doing for you up there? But at first the Lord asked me, and I think this is really important. I think the Lord made it known to me. He says, why are you doing it? You know, a lot of, he said, are you doing it for you or are you doing it for me? And a lot of us do it for us. You know, we feel like doing it and it's a good thing and we feel like, wow, we're really accomplishing something. And, you know, for ego or for whatever. But see, God said, why are you really doing it? Why? For you or for me? And, you know, I had to look at that. And I said, God, there's a lot of times I'd rather do something else. There's other things that come up. I'd rather do that. So, Lord, I think I'm doing it for you. But see, he wanted me to see. And now that I know that I'm doing it for him, I don't have to look at whether I'm making a difference. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, God, I'm doing it for you. You use me. I'm not capable of pleasing man and pleasing you and all that. Lord, I just want to be a servant. I'm your servant. Use me. And so that's how I approach things. I have to, you know, otherwise I feel like, man, you might as well crawl in a hole and cover yourself up, you know. But another one here, number three is, be strong and courageous. Have the courage. Got to have courage, folks. Just do it. So many people say, well, I don't think I can do that. No, I don't feel good enough. I don't feel worthy. Let so-and-so, they're better at it. We'll get Lucy to do it. She's good at everything, right? So we'll get her to do it, and then we'll relax back here. But, you know, man, we got to stand up and be counted. We really do. God's called you, and God will use you. I found out this. If you just do the best you can for the Lord, he'll make it work. Y'all know that? He will. He'll make it work. It's like my kids, man. We were under such pressure. We had very little money coming in. We moved up to Michigan from Missouri. It seems like the Baptist churches only pay $125 a week. That's all they ever paid. Even in Missouri, that's what it was. You know, and it's hard to live on that. And so then I got a job as a bus driver. And, well, that helped us out. And then I got a job at the airport. And that helped us out. So there's three jobs I had every day, well, except for the weekends. And then a guy quit at the airport, and he de-iced FedEx. So I work four jobs to make a living for a family. My wife even drove taxi cabs. She worked hard. So it was kind of a struggle for us. But we were determined to serve the Lord. So my poor kids, man, if the biggest treat they could ever get, well, that's when that lady gave us, she owned a pizza thing in Pelston. Wasn't there very long, but she told us that we could get a pizza from her, I think at cost. You know, we could get a pizza at cost. So we'd save a couple bucks. But once a week we'd get a pizza and the kids were like just thrilled. Wow, something different, you know. And that was their treat. And so my kids now, one's a school teacher about ready to retire. Her kids absolutely love her. The parents that of the kids that are in her class will go months ahead or weeks ahead to talk to the principal to make sure or to try to get their kids in her class. And so her class is full, and she got teacher of the year down there that one time. You know, she's on the radio and publicized. That was a big deal for her. But, you know, when she would see kids that were hurting, and there's so many of them today because they don't have godly fathers. They don't have the families to nurture them and to bring them up. And she would sense the hurt in their lives. on the weekends, she would go pick them up. She'd pick one or two, or sometimes just an individual that needed the extra attention, and she'd take them to the movies, buy them popcorn, pop, just anything. And they'd just, a whole afternoon, she'd take a whole afternoon for them. Take them different places, doing different things, whatever it took. But she did that for her kids in her classroom because she wanted to make a difference. And did. So she's a school teacher. The middle one, she works at the doctor's office. And I think now she's taken a promotion, so she does all of the setup. She takes care of all the people making their prescriptions and appointments and all of that. So she's quite busy. She works in Charlevoix. And our youngest child, her husband owned a business, and they were givers. You know, they were always givers. And they worked hard in the church and were all doing good. You know, and every once in a while, individually, I would tell them, and then one time I got them in a group, and I said, kids, I said, I'm so sorry I wasn't the father that I should have been. I spent all my time working and everything, and I didn't pay much attention to you guys. I couldn't even go to their games because you de-ice FedEx at night. And I apologize. I said, kids, too. I said, I'm so thankful for God that he did what I couldn't do. And you guys turned out as perfect as you did. I said, that's God. I said, that wasn't me. I said, I loved you, but I couldn't be there for you. And I'm so sorry. And I would say, thank you, Jesus. He took such good care of my kids. And now they're teaching their grandkids or their children, my grandkids. And so it's different. And even now, I take my grandkids and we go fishing or do different things. Man, I'm always talking to them about the Lord. Sometimes they'll say, okay, here goes Grandpa, you know. And we would talk and about different situations of something would happen. And I can remember one time we were out on the boat and we were fishing. I took my my oldest grandson with me, Brandon. We were sitting in a boat and, you know, we both had the same line, fishing line, same poles, fishing in the same place. He was just on the other side of the boat. And I would pull one up and, oh, I'm pretty good. We keep it. I'd drop it down. I'd pick another one. And he's over there. He's 10, 11 maybe. And he's saying, Grandpa, why ain't I catching any? So I'm using the same boat's bait. The same pole, the same, everything is rigged the same. Why am I not catching fish? And I said, well, come over here and try here. So he was dropping his line right down next to me, and I would catch one, pull it up, drop it down. He wasn't. And so he reeled up his pole, threw it in the boat. I said, well, let me tell you this, Brandon, you won't catch them like that, you know. You got to keep your bait in the water. And he says, well, what good does it do? I can't catch them anyway. And I said this. I said, did you ever pray and ask God? He said, well, no, why should I? I said, maybe so you could catch fish. You ever think of that? I said, I prayed. So I said, why don't you try that? So he prayed. He lowered his line down next to mine, and he caught one. So do you see how, as parents, as grandfathers, we can really teach our children just the little things? You know? And then they want to look at your life. How do you handle a problem? When you got a big problem coming up, do you know how to trust God? Do you really? You know? You talk it. Do you ever notice talk's cheap? Well, that's where the kids get that right away. So when talk's cheap, they don't listen. They don't like cheap talk. Nobody does. So they're going to watch your life. How do you really react? What do you really do? Do you really believe what you say? So important. It's so important to do. Let's see, did we get, the fourth part, which makes everything so easy, is your love. Folks, if you do things out of love, it's not near as hard. You know what I mean? It's not nearly as hard. But you got to learn to love. Sometimes it's hard to love them. Sometimes you just want to spank them. You know what I mean? And sometimes you have to. If you love them, you'll correct them. The parents that don't correct their children don't really love them, and they don't want to take the time to fool with them. My grandson, two grandsons were up, and we were, I don't know if Liam was there or not, but I always have trouble with the boys. You ever notice that? But anyway, we had a trampoline, and Brandon and Dakota were jumping on the trampoline. They were probably, Brandon might have been 12, Dakota maybe 10, I'm not sure, somewhere in that. Well, Dakota is the one that likes to cause trouble. So they're jumping on it. Well, Brandon must have been jumping higher or something, and he's so competitive, Dakota is. He pushed him off of the trampoline. Well, of course, Brandon got up. He said, I'm going to get you. You know how they are. And so Dakota runs up to me. Grandpa, Grandpa, save me. Brandon's going to kill me. I said, what'd you do? No, and Brandon was right behind him, you know, and he said, he pushed me off of the trampoline, you know. And he said, I could have really hurt myself. And I said, that's true. So I said, Dakota, go sit on the steps over there. And I'm grilling. So he went over, reluctant. I said, sit on the steps, buddy. I mean it. So he went over and he sat down. And, of course, he's complaining. And I said, you get up off of there and I'll blister you, buddy. You won't be able to sit down. So he sat down and he stayed there. And then his mom comes down bringing some more stuff for me to put on the grill. And he says, Grandpa made me sit on the steps. And she said, well, you better do what he tells you to or he'll spank you, you know. And so that took care of all of that. And but then after that, we went up to eat. And Dakota, I was already sitting down. Dakota came over and said, hey, Dakota, come on, man. You can sit over here by me. And he looked at me because he didn't know if I would still be mad at him. Folks, deal with it and then let it go. You know what I mean? And he come up to me and he hugged me real tight. He said, Grandpa, I love you. I said, I love you too, bud. And that's why part of why we're the best of friends right now. But for that's what it is. It takes time sometimes. I couldn't do it as a dad to my kids. And I miss that. But I don't want to fail my grandkids. So I'm not going to fail them. So it's important. Dads, you're needed. You know, moms, you can tell how good a job that they do, and it's like it's okay. Not taking any thing away from the mothers. And it's important for you to do that. But when dad takes an interest and says, you did a good job, and it's, wow, I impressed dad. Wow. And that's how I feel about my Heavenly Father. When the Lord says, well done, Jim, you did good. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, my life is the same, and our lives should be the same with God, or if we're just doing it with our kids. It's the same. It's the same life. My life I live is for God. That's what I want it to be. Do I fail? Yes, I do. I don't mean to. I don't try to. But I fail. But God is right there to always pick me up. And he still loves me. And I'm like, God, how can you do that? Did you ever notice? God, how can you do that? How can I be so disappointing to you? And then it's just a little while, you're right there in my face, drawing me close to you, hugging me, loving on me, receiving me as if nothing happened. See, his mercies are new every morning. Isn't that what it says? Every morning, it's new. And with me, it had to be about every couple hours. But God's so faithful. And all we have to do is make that effort and do the best we can, and God will always do the rest. He'll always. So it's a challenging list that I gave you. To be alert, to stand firm by faith, to be strong with our courage, and to be loving and caring. This describes a dad who is engaged and aware of what's going on in his children's lives. This is a dad who is careful to pass along his faith by the words and also the way he models it to his family. And this is a dad with a purpose who doesn't give up when tests and conflicts arise. All of this is embodied in a bold love that makes him willing to put his wife and children first and treat them with respect. It takes courage to be a godly man. Ephesians 6:4 says this, says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them. That's Ephesians 6:4. I'm reading in the Amplified. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial, are unreasonable, are humiliating, are abusive, nor by showing favoritism and indifference to any of them. But bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instructions of the Lord. When we were on a farm in Missouri, we had a neighbor, well, several farms down. He had two sons. And he was not a godly man. And he was really hard on his children. In fact, his kids were probably in their early teens or so. And so one of them made him mad. They were in the barn cleaning up or doing something. So his dad knocked him down and went for him again and slapped him a couple of times. And the other boy was there. He grabbed a long-handled shovel, knocked him out. But see, that's the kind of household they grew up in. I've been in other families as a kid, and just looking at how they reacted, the parents and the children. And it's like, man, I would never talk like that to my parents. I would have never talked like that. And they did all the time, to their face, to their parents' face. And I can remember one of the kids getting mad at their mom about something. I said, wait a minute, who you think you're talking to? I said, you don't ever talk to your mother like that. And I didn't have to hit him or anything, just a stern talk like, I will not tolerate that. And they knew it. And so even when they were angry, they would not yell and stuff like that. It's okay to get angry, because we all do that. It's okay. But don't you come with the disrespect and cursing and all. I won't stand for it. You know, and so our family, I never did it. My wife's never done it to our family, our parents. And... Uh, Well, I don't know what my dad would have done. I probably would, for sure, wouldn't be here had I done that. But anyway, you know, you want to try to treat your kids fair. They need to know that they're important to you. You know, and you need to brag on your kids a little. Not to make them prideful that you're better than anybody else, but just to know that they're important. You appreciate the things that they do. They're doing a good job, even if it's not the best. You know what I'm saying? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom. And he will, for his abilities and talents, wisdom, and with all of his talents, even when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I can always catch myself doing a lot of things, good things that my dad did. And I'm like, wow, that's my dad. You'd be surprised what our kids pick up from us and our grandkids. You know, I talked about my grandson who was sick, and last week I told you we were called down there I felt led by the Lord to go pray for him. So we did. Son-in-law. What did I say?
Grandson.
All right. Grandson. We have to do what I tell my wife. You know what I'm trying to say, just go with it. You know. Yeah. I know. But anyway, we went down there and prayed for him. And later that week, or earlier, it was earlier last week.
We went 1 week, and then the next week we went back.
We went back.
The other day.
But they called hospice one time because the doctor said for him to do that. Well, when the hospice came to his house, he was up walking around like, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, and he was okay. In fact, when we went down there, he just came from the doctor, and the doctor said, that was a week before, the doctor said, you call hospice now. You get them, get signed up for that and get ready for this. He was at work. He worked 5 hours. Of course, he owns his own business, Tool and Die and all of that. So he's programming and doing different things. So he works 5 hours and then comes home, and then we pray for him. And then my grandson calls me last Thursday at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he says, Grandpa, if you wanna see my dad again, he says, I would come right away. Now they're 3 hours away.
That was Thursday.
Anyway, we went down there, and we got there, what, at 10 o'clock or so? So we got to talk with him. He couldn't talk, but, you know, and he was laying down. They had to set him up. So he was getting very weak at that point. And so we talked with him. We got to pray with him. My daughter came. There were several people that were there. His family was there. And, but then it was about, I think it was around 12:30. We were taking care of errands for my daughter. We thought, well, let's go do it real fast. And we wasn't gone probably 30 minutes or so, maybe an hour. And then my daughter called and says, you guys get back here now. And so we turn around and we're going back home right away, quick as we can. And he had just passed before we got there. He was only sick like that for like 3 or 4 days. That was all. And the Lord took him so quickly. He even waited for his sister who was on vacation and got to be back an hour or so before he did pass. And so I asked Holly, my daughter, I said, was it peaceful when he went? She says, yeah. She said, he would just take a breath And then it would be like a minute or so, and he would take another breath. And then he just didn't take any more. There was no pain. There was no struggle, because a lot of people struggle. They'll fight for life. Peaceful. You could see it on his face. Just before all of that, can I back up like a day or two, when hospice brought his bed? They, you know, hospice is, they bring the bed and all kinds of different things that you might need. My grandson, who knows the Lord's in Bible college, the young man that brought everything, set it up, he walked outside with this young man. And he says, "Do you know Jesus?" He's witnessing to this kid. Kid says, "Yeah, I think so." Well, he says, you know, and then he kind of prophesied. Well, he just talked to him. He said, "You know, God really cares for you. And we really appreciate the work you do. And it's got to be hard to do this, you know, to bring stuff like that to a family at this, for this reason." And the kid says, "Yeah, it is. It's really hard." And he said, "Can I pray for you?" So he prayed for him and then gave him some money. Knowing him, it had to have been a couple hundred dollars. And the kid left crying. My daughter is so strong in this. I hope she finds time and really grieves. Gotta grieve. I want her to grieve. We're going down right after we're done with the service. We're heading back down because we've got to help her take care of business and spend time with her so she's not alone at home. My other daughter is down there with her and taking care of her as well. But in fact, when we called them to come back the next day to pick up everything, the young kid was talking to the old man that came to get the stuff. He said, "Man, that's such a good family there." He said, "I really don't have the heart to go after they've suffered their loss to go back there." He says, they're good people. And he wouldn't go back. And the old man said, "I'll go." He said, "I'll go." So he went there to get the bed. But then he told my daughter. He said, "You know, I had a heart attack and I died. They brought me back." But he says, "I had an out-of-body experience. And," he said, "I could see everybody below, what they were saying, what they were doing." He said, I seen it all. And, but then, you know, I was able to come back into my body. But he says, "I know what I experienced." And he said, "That's the same with your husband, that when he was leaving, that he was able to hear and to see all of the family that was there, to see you, that you're there." And it did such a wonder for her. She even called us afterwards. We're on the road going home. And she calls us. She never guessed what happened. And she tells us of that experience. So I guess I'm saying all of this to say to you that when you know the Lord and the Lord knows you and you're serving him with a willing heart and spirit, it's not about being perfect. It's trying and allowing the Lord to work in your life. That everything is different. Everything is different. That you didn't sense that, oh, that loss. It's like, oh, if we could have only gone with you. You know what I mean? You're in heaven now. And he passed in such peace that the presence of God was just all over in the house. And do you know, his sister that was an atheist spent most of her time outside. She couldn't stay in the presence, in the anointing. And his parents, they go to church, but I don't know how involved. Good people. But I don't know, they're not really involved as our family is. So this is what God did. And it's all God, because I failed. I failed as a father. I don't know where you're at right now, if you're failing or if you got to change some things. But if you got to change, change. Let God do that. It's so important. You are so needed. And all you have to do is make the effort. And God will make it happen. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the same with all of us. Amen? Amen. Folks, I love you. You keep up the good work. God's got a lot of good things planned for you. He's guarding you, your health, your families, and everything. Just let him do it through you. He can handle it. If he can do it through me, he'd do it through you. Let me pray for you. Father, I ask that you would bless your church, your people. Lord, you're so good. Help us all, Father, just to see that we can do it. And may the wives and the ladies here always encourage the men. We need it. We try to be strong, but sometimes we need that encouragement. And let us as men be an encouragement to our families and our children. Father, we love you. We trust you. We know you're faithful. Father, I ask that you would help us to be faithful to your word, to your desires. And we will indeed make a difference for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 We have our prayer warriors here. They would love to pray with you.